Trek Companion. This is episode 339. I'm your host, Brian Williams.
I am Adam Caesar.
I'm Stephen Embry.
And today we are discussing Star Trek Lower Decks fourth season episodes, A Few Badgies More, and Caves. Here we go.
A Few Badgies More, Season 4, Episode 7, original release date October 12th, 2023. Directed by Bob Suarez, written by Edgar Monplaisir. Guest cast include Jeffrey Combs as Agamas, Kether Donahue as Peanut Hamper, Jack McBrayer as Badgie, Gugee, and Logicy, Jessica McKenna as Barnes, and Paul Scheer as Andy Billups.
In the Kayla system, amidst the wreckage of Jack Boar's ship, last seen in No Small Parts, Season 1, Drakmunia's scavengers are sorting through salvage of the ship and come upon the old cybernetic implant of Sam Rutherford's. Excited to find Federation technology, the captain claims the implant as salvage, and when he holds it to his hand, the implant activates, showing the rogue AI, Badgie.
The Nebula is interfering with our scans. I'm having trouble locating the Bynar vessel.
Ship approaching. It's Duvani.
What are they doing here?
Cerritos, help! The demon triangle is...
Oopsie doopsie. Someone defied a direct order.
Oh, Badgie.
Hi, Father. Prepare to die.
Adam, kick us off on A Few Badgies More.
A Few Badgies More. I really enjoyed this episode. First off, it takes three artificial intelligence. And, you know, we combine them all into one episode. You know, we've seen all these characters before, Badgie, Peanut, and Agamas. You know, they all had kind of had their own thing before. So we kind of bring them all together and we kind of have a conclusion with all of them. And it's it's a fun story. It's well paced. They pack so much into 22 minutes. I know sometimes I'm just amazed how much they're able to pack into the 22-25 minutes that they do. But I mean, it's a good story. It's like I said, it's like three different stories all at once. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. And I'm looking forward to getting into talking about it.
Steve, your first thoughts here?
I didn't think this is one of the strongest episodes in recent history for this series, but the series is so good that I think even the not so fantastic episodes are entertaining. I think it's doing what it does best. It does a riff off current Trek and historical notions. And, you know, I even thought the notion of splitting Badgie into parts and having him fight with himself could even been a little bit of a commentary on some of the stuff we saw as recently as Picard season 3 with Data and so forth. And then, of course, they're referencing themselves going back a couple seasons and bringing back all these characters. Jeffrey Combs is always great. I always love him in anything. And so having him as Agamas is fun. The whole absurdity of Peanut Hamper and all of them, you know, it kind of you knew you'd see all these characters again. And in a way, they did something pretty efficient by combining them into one episode like this. So I do like that.
Yeah, that was really clever. Yeah, there's a point when you kind of realize that's what's happening. And yeah, it's pretty smart.
Yeah, so I like that aspect of it. It didn't like blow me away as far as something incredible, but I do think it played to its strengths and was almost like a requisite that had to happen at some point for this series.
We've talked about how well this series pairs people up. It does it kind of late in the way that Mariner and Rutherford end up together on Badgie's ship. It does it well again. I like this episode. I think this is a pretty good episode. It doesn't actually make me laugh very much. It's not all that funny. And like it or not, that is often the point of Lower Decks. It is a comedy and it's supposed to make us laugh. So the ones that maybe don't make me laugh so much, maybe don't feel as good, but I do think this is a good episode. I think it's clever, fun storytelling. And
I did get a kind of a snicker shake my head laugh, you know, when he subjugated that planet. And they were just like, really, it was just like, no big deal.
Oh, yeah. What is it? He's like, I'm sure the Federation can't fix this in an hour.
He's like, wow, you conquered this place in record time.
When he split up Badgie and he had Badgie and Gugee. I didn't remember, what was his name? Logicy?
Yeah.
I didn't remember Logicy. And I was like, why don't I remember this character? And then very quickly he kills him. I'm like, oh, that's why. I got the biggest kick out of seeing the Bynars at the beginning of this episode. I was one of those moments where I did have to pause it and explain to my significant other why I was so excited. We haven't seen them since Next Gen Season 1, right? Is this the first time we've seen them? Maybe there was like a 2 seconds in Lower Decks or something. I don't think so. But
yeah, I don't recall. You would know.
This has got to be the first time we've really seen them since then. They definitely never came back in live action ever.
Definitely first time we saw their ship. Or did we see a ship in Next Gen?
Well, they needed the Enterprise. We haven't watched that in a long, many, many years. But they needed the Enterprise to fix a computer problem that they were having, right? So I was excited to see them. And it's cool. There's no subtitles, but you know what they're talking about.
Well, they're able to get, I guess they're able to get away with that with the repetition. You know, we've seen that scene now, what, probably at least
that's
three.
A good point. Yeah, that's true.
Three
that's
or four
true.
Times.
Well, on that note, we do get a little bit, we advance that storyline a little bit, right? At the end of this one, we learn, this is when we first learn that those ships are not being destroyed, they're being stolen.
Yeah, towed off.
What would you say? Shipnapped? I don't know. Is that a word?
Shipjacked.
Shipjacked? Yeah. Okay. I was genuinely surprised that it didn't end with Peanut Hamper being a jerk again, and you know, that Peanut Hamper said she actually had some remorse was surprising, interesting, and it almost feels like they've finished with the character now. Like they could go back to Jeffrey Combs. Was this Agamemnon?
Agamemnon. Yeah.
Agamemnon. They could go back to Agamemnon, but it feels like they don't need to go back to Peanut Hamper. That could, she could be done.
I mean, it feels like they concluded all the characters. I mean, we might see Gucci. Was that Gucci? You know, just kind of make a cameo here and there. But yeah, they're good enough writers that they could bring any of these characters back for whatever reason. But I don't see a reason for it.
I feel like Gucci does show up even just for a line or something in one of the last two episodes. Maybe I'm remembering wrong. We saw the koala again when a hologram ascended, when a computer's program ascended. That's really weird. Don't try to think too hard about that one. Where did they find Badgie at the beginning? Where was that debris from or whatever? Remind me.
That was from the end of season one, that battle.
Is that where Badgie came from?
Yeah, the episode's called No Small Parts.
Oh, okay.
Well, I bet this is actually his third episode. I had to look it up because I wasn't sure.
Oh, okay.
I think he's been in three episodes. So there was two season one episodes. Two season one episodes and then this.
Gosh, it's so weird. Four seasons.
Badgie's a Hallmark ornament, you know.
That's true. Oh, for my girl's birthday, I got her the complete set of Funko Pop figures. Is that what they're called? Yeah. You know, the little figures with the big heads.
Mm-hmm.
I got her the Lower Decks set.
Cool.
And it's the four main characters and Badgie.
So, that's awesome.
So somebody thinks Badgie is very significant. Agamemnon changing his color from red to blue to make him look good. That did make me chuckle, especially when he seems to like have to go to effort to do it. He's like, that was funny.
Well, I mean, you know, the whole concept of like rehabilitation for these, you know, basically desktop computers. It's ridiculous, but it works. You know,
it was the rare time when I had a thought where, because when we first see them at Daystrom, they're having like a therapy session and they're all sitting on top of chairs in like a round circle. I never think this, but for some reason I consciously thought if this was live action, it would be absurd. Yeah. You couldn't, there's no variation of this in one of the live action shows.
So when he picked up Agamemnon when they were in the theater and he's like, he called him out, you know, a meat sack or something like that. And he's all, unhand me, you meat sack. I had a lot. I didn't like you, Brian. I didn't have like any laugh out loud moments, but I mean, there were several like good, chuckles.
Yeah, chuckles, and it makes you smile. No, I think this is a good, pretty good episode. I think it's also a wonderful episode in context of the show. No, I like this episode. I really do. What is this episode about?
Well, if you want to get really deep, so you have these three artificial intelligence, and they each have their own individual problems. And we kind of see each one of them, you know, transcend in their own way. You know, Peanut Hamper. I completely blanked on her name. Peanut Hamper. So she actually is. She goes through the whole rehabilitation process, and she, you know, she feels regret and remorse. You know, and you can kind of look at that as like, you know, that's one way everybody else gets through life. You know, you do something poorly or do something bad, you feel regret and remorse, and that's what causes you to change your ways. Agnes, you know, he was changed by, you know, love. You know, he, you know, a best friend, somebody he could connect with. That's what changed him. And with Maggie, it was just learning all that there is to be. But I mean, you know, we got to see the transformation, you know, the splitting of the personalities. I mean, you know, and it's an interesting look at the psyche. You know, just we all have these different pieces inside of us that affect us in one way or another. And you know, if you can look at it in any way, if you want to look at it religiously, spiritually, or anything. But I mean, most of us are trying to transcend in one way or another after we leave this mortal coil. So yeah, I think it's an interesting look at like using AI intelligence to for human frailties.
Well, we're certainly all in search for the great koala.
Yeah.
Steve, what do you got?
Yeah, I think it kind of lends credence to the notion of the chaos of it all. You know, you have these three different AIs that all went to a very different journey, and there's no specific reason why. You know, I mean, you have Peanut, like you said, there's Peanut Hamper is reformed, you have Badgie is split into multiple personas, and you have Agamas, who is kind of where we left him, sort of, and pretending to be reformed, whatever. But I mean, I think there are so many variables in life in terms of how we get to where we end up, you know, and if anything, I think that's kind of what's going on here. I don't know if it's intended or not, but I think that that's kind of what I take from it.
Let's do 6 degrees for a few badges more. Just trivia questions today. No actual 6 degrees. We went for Adam.
It's too bad I'm not much better at those.
Well, maybe this one you get. The title of this episode, A Few Badgies More, references what Sergio Leone picture?
Oh, for a few dollars more?
Yes, sir. A few dollars more. See, you got it. All right. Adam has one. Moving on.
Caves, Season 4, Episode 8. Original release date, October 19th, 2023. Directed by Megan Lloyd. Written by Ben Rogers. Guest cast include Asif Ali as Asif and Graflax. Zach Cherry as Amadou, Artemis Pedani as Karavitus, and Paul Scheer as Andy Billups.
Boimler, Mariner, Tindy, and Rutherford are trapped in a collapsed cave while on an away mission to study aggressively growing moss. With communication blocked, they await rescue and recount tales of previous experiences trapped in caves.
It's carnivorous moss? Are you kidding me? Okay, you want your I told you so's one at a time or all at once?
At the rate it's growing, we only have a couple of hours.
We've all been stuck in caves before. One of us has to know a way out of this.
Oh, yeah. Like the time we all got stuck together right after that rage virus outbreak on the ship. The power was fluctuating.
Tendi, I love you, but that wasn't a cave. It was a turbo lift. Totally different type of thing to get trapped in.
Right, sorry.
Steve, kick us off on caves.
So much like the last episode we reviewed, kind of consolidated a lot of different AI tropes into one episode. We have a lot of just broad Star Trek tropes kind of collapse into one episode. Kind of, it's humorous. I mean, the notion, caves in general, we all know the caves, all these episodes, especially in the Next Gen era, they're all filmed in the same place. All these caves look the same, all these kind of ideas. So much like a lot of other Lower Decks episodes, you have this kind of meta notion of Star Trek, the idea of we're gonna make fun of ourselves, but we're gonna do it in a way that appeals to fans and this kind of thing. We also touch base on some other tropes in these flashback episodes, which is kind of TV history in general, but flashback episodes, and then some of the ideas in those episodes of let's involve time travel or aging or de-aging, or let's involve we're stuck in some place and we have to deal with it, all these kind of ideas. But you know, they can get away with it in this series because of what this series does, and it's entertaining, it's funny. I thought this was almost like a what would you have as a flashback kind of clip episode in this series, when there's no such thing as a clip episode in this kind of media. They kind of pull it off tongue in cheek. You know, I enjoyed it. I thought it was funny.
Well, particularly clever, I thought, was giving us the clip from an episode that we've seen, but a scene that we haven't seen from that episode.
Yes, nice. Yeah.
Tendy's story at the end there. That's great. Adam, your first thoughts?
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. It's a simple concept. You know, I looked at each of these stories and, you know, you could kind of just see these as just the pitch for full length next gen episodes. I thought it's very clever. You know, it's presented as this flashback montage, you know, show that we all hated that were made in the, you know, they made these a lot in the 90s and early 2000s. You know, they just go back and they show old clips from the show because they're, you know, the end of season two of Next Gen, they did that. It was just awful.
Because the writers,
writer strike. But I mean, it's not like we haven't seen that dozens and dozens of times in other series back then. It's not really something that it's that common anymore because people hate it because it's like lazy. I'm like, all right, I've already watched all these other episodes. Why are you showing me a clip episode? So I thought it was a clever way to kind of, I don't know if their intention was a homage to it, but it was very clever. And I enjoyed the three short story. I mean, these short stories with one episode. I think my favorite was, Rutherford and Dr. Tiana. I liked that one the best of the three of the stories that we saw.
Yeah, it was probably Tendy's for me, but I liked them all. Actually, the thing I like the most about this episode, I like where it plays in the season. I love that we get this self-contained, you know, bottle episode, not bottle like they're on the ship, but I mean, story-wise, it doesn't really need the episodes before it or after it. And it's just about our four characters, and we get it right before the big two-party sort of the last two episodes, which are the main through-line story of the whole season. I love that this is here, and it's just this great little take a break for a minute and have fun and enjoy the show and the characters before we do the serious story stuff. And I really like that. I really like that. If this had been the first episode of the season or the last episode of the season, maybe not. But right here, it's perfect.
And I kind of think it brings the series back home because, I mean, this series is about these four characters. These are our four main characters. And we've been
the Lower Deckers.
Yep. We've been introduced to several more that are kind of playing, you know, B parts. And, you know, their character growth is growing. But, I mean, yeah, these are these four and it's just them and it's about them. And they allude to it in the episode. Oh, we haven't got to do anything in a long time. Oh, we have to go to a cave.
Yeah, and that's another thing too. This episode made me laugh. It makes me laugh right from the very beginning. That transporter joke, like she's, I hate caves. And then the transport, and she realizes caves. And she's still like the same word. That was funny. Yeah, it made me laugh out loud.
I think it's interesting you brought up the notion of placement of episodes in a season because it only applies in today's era versus, you know, Next Gen DS9 Voyager, because back then, you know, 26 episodes or whatever it is, you can't really talk much about that versus, you know, maybe the first, the last. Yeah. But when you have 10, that's like talking about tracks on an album or players in a baseball lineup or something. There's something that means something and
everything matters
value
a lot
to
more.
It, you know? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I agree. This was a good placement for this kind of concept.
Mm-hmm. Rutherford's was probably the funniest. It also, his story, it did have the, I don't know if they were intentionally making a reference to like that Enterprise episode, but I did think of it, you know, where Trip gets pregnant. And I don't think we've seen Dr. Ta'ana. You know, another thing that was fun about the whole point of these flashbacks, each one was telling a story until we got to the Tendies, which was the four of them. The other three stories were all the time I wasn't with you story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't really recall seeing Dr. Ta'ana have this much like screen time and have this many lines, but I definitely don't ever remember her being paired up with Rutherford like this. It's a funny thing where you like try to imagine how did they even end up together in the first place? That's a weird away team to assemble, but they work together. They're funny. And there's even this, I mean, even just it's just a couple of little lines, but like, I hate engineers. Oh, so, you know, maybe she grows a tiny bit there and maybe she doesn't hate him. You know, he has a joke about that or she has a joke about that.
And she likes to use the F word.
Yeah. I mean, the show just never misses a chance to do something real. It doesn't when you constantly don't think it's going to and it's doing it all the time. You don't even realize it, you know?
Brian, my laugh out was, you know, right after they shot that creature that came out of the lagoon, she's like, man, that thing was effing nasty. I'm like, I mean, it's just such a real line. Like, you know, if you ran into that thing and you shot it, you'd be like, you know, you'd be like. Mm-hmm.
Definitely not something we ever heard, like a Next Gen away team say. But yeah, what we would say if we were there.
And I mean, in a weird way, the episode kind of encapsulates the season. I mean, you know, you have these three stories with separate characters, and it kind of feels like that this season of the four, our main characters have been kind of split up. I mean, they've been paired, but they haven't really been together. And I don't think they've been all four of them together in one episode this season.
Well, we had a lot of the Vulcan. I already forgot it. Tilin. We had a lot of Tilin, and it's interesting that that she's not here in this episode, right? It really goes back to that core four. And you're right, it feels like, you know, coming home and the flashback of the pilot episode. But that, I mean, obviously that was a very conscious choice. But yeah, I mean, I really feel like that takes us into what it's about. Well, we even got the Delta ship. Those are the same characters we've seen before, right? Or at least the girl was.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
It'll heal.
Yeah, that bit was funny. That made me laugh out loud. They did.
It'll heal.
All right. Yeah. What is this episode about?
I think what they're trying to get at is as you grow as a person and as you broaden your experiences, it doesn't mean the bonds that you've created with people is any less or that you're any less close. I think that's kind of what they were saying. I mean, we've kind of talked about it a little bit. I mean, you know, this episode kind of brings the four main characters back together, and it, you know, reinforces the bond that they've had since day one of this series.
Yeah, I think history matters, memory matters, you know, experiences, past experiences, you know, they form who we are and the choices we make going forward. I think that's what this focuses on.
All right, let's do 6 degrees for caves. Steve, what did the crew called the standing cave set on Next Gen, and I think DS9 and maybe Enterprise, they had a name for that, for the cave set that they all hated. They were always just miserable in there because it was hot.
It's Planet Hell?
Yes, sir. Planet Hell.
All right.
Nice. All right, Tide. Gave you guys some easy ones, but fun ones. All right. I did want to mention, I just started reading, you know how obviously there's a lot of Trek novels. The ones I always want to read are like ones that fill in stories that we missed. So like in the last couple of years, I read the, you know, what Burnham was up to when she was alone in the future for a year or whatever that was. I read the, what Rafi went through between a couple of seasons of Picard. I read the good one that sets up Picard, the, you know, like what happens to Picard between Next Gen and season one of Picard. Well, I just started reading the book that is 7 of 9 between when she gets back, between the end of Voyager and the beginning of Picard season one. It actually starts a couple years after.
Cool, cool.
It's called Firewall. I'm about 50 pages in, but it's another one of those where I'm enjoying it just because I'm filling in all those story gaps I always have. Been waiting for that book for a while and finally came out, and I'm enjoying it so far. I know there was a trailer for Discovery season 5. I haven't watched it, but Adam said it was great. I'm at this point, I'm probably gonna avoid it, but
it looks familiar. I mean, it doesn't really give anything away.
Yeah,
but it looks like the feel of the show, and no surprises.
Well, reminder to our listeners that our plan, you know, we're gonna be back in 2 weeks to finish out season 4, and then we'll be talking about Discovery season 5 kind of as it airs. So that's going to be fun. Looking forward to that. They did announce a 40th anniversary 4K steelbook of my beloved Search for Spock.
I saw that. I immediately thought, there's another one you're buying, I'm sure.
Yeah, I already I have my glass case that has like every format, including it. It's already got a 4K blue in there, but no, I need that. The only thing that sucks is, I think it only says 40th anniversary on like the paper O sleeve, that if you were to open it, it's going to come off, right? So maybe that means, I mean, I probably shouldn't open it anyway, since that's really just a gun in my glass
case. You have
case.
To buy two, you know, you have to keep one intact. Yes.
Because look at the picture. If you open it up and take the discs out, you can see Space Dock.
Yeah.
I love Space Dock. So that means you're right. I hadn't thought of that. I just buy a second one. And then, because I was also like, well, even if I open it up, the discs are going to cover it. No, but you're right. If I buy two, then I open it up, I take the discs out, toss those. And now I got
genius, yes.
And at the 50th anniversary, it'll be permanent.
The 50th anniversary will be permanent. What does that mean?
Oh, no, there won't be paper. It'll be permanent, whatever you're talking
about. Okay. Gosh, I love Star Trek 3 so much. Inglorious Trekspirits, I occasionally listen to their podcast. Did you see who they guessed the guest they had on to talk about Star Trek 3 this week?
I did not.
Freaking Metalis, you know, the showrunner of Picard Season 3. The guy that's been on there before, VP from Fox Studios, I can't remember his name, he's cool. And Kevin freaking Feige. Kevin Feige. And the three of them were there to defend Star Trek 3 because, you know, Altman and Doctorman hate it. And everything they said, I felt so validated because I'm like, yes, this is exactly why I love it. They really get it. It's worth listening to. It's very good. But yeah, Star Trek 3 turns 40 on June 1st. So screening at my house. We're going to be back in 2 weeks to finish out Lower Decks fourth season. Until then, you can send us an email, trekcompanion@gmail.com. Our Twitter handle is @trekcompanion. Thank you so much for spending a half an hour with us. And until next time, take it easy.
Bye, guys.
See you.
Stefan, I passed it.